Lance is going to take off and run. Cutting it back inside the 10. Lance! Into the end zone! Touchdown! Lance is going to keep it up the middle. Trey Lance breaking free! He's going to take it all the way for the first touchdown here in 2019.
This is High Motor by BetMGM. Andrew Doughty and Chase A. Kitty of Richmond, VA on High Motor by BetMGM. I had never thought about last week. I think I needed to confirm your official name. And I had never thought of your name as literally chasing a kitty until you pointed that out. Like, how many times have I said your name aloud?
That's the amazing part. Yeah, that you not every time, but oftentimes, maybe 40% of the time, you open the show by saying my name, my middle initial A. My middle name is Andrew. And that never occurred to you?
Never occurred to me. Even when I don't slap the A in there, which you're probably right in the ballpark, 40%. Even when I don't slap that in there, not once until you said, I don't know what my parents were thinking, did I ever think, like, hey, there's a cat down there. Let's chase the kitty. Like, I never, did they ever think about that before you were born?
No, I mean, according to them, no. Because the story goes, you know, I went to kindergarten or whatever, and I came home on, like, the first week of school and was like, hey, how come all these kids are making fun of my name? And, like, why, like, and they were like, what do you mean? How could you possibly make fun of your name? Like, it hadn't even occurred to them.
Didn't occur to me either.
Yeah.
But NFL draft is 2 weeks away, so we're going to do all NFL draft talk today, starting on April 29th, just 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're talking here on April 14th. We're going to do all draft today. About a month or two ago, we had Thor Nystrom on the show for some kind of early draft talk, NFL draft analyst for NBC Sports. And you asked him about Trey Lance, North Dakota State quarterback, the scouting report, the fit, what system he might fit in, all that kind of stuff. And as of today, I was just browsing the NFL draft specials before we hopped on BetMGM.com. There are like 40 on there now. They're populating them almost every single day as we get up to the draft. Odds for receivers drafted in the first round, first defensive player drafted, yada, yada, yada. Total Alabama players drafted, odds for the number one pick, odds for the number two pick, odds for the number three pick. And we're not going to talk about one and two. Lawrence, a massive favorite for one at minus 10,000. Zach Wilson, a big favorite for number two at minus 2,500. And then number three, because I think this came up in a show or we were talking about it offline, I can't remember. The draft starts at three. Unless, like, literally everyone is wrong about Zach Wilson, the draft starts at three, and the odds reflect that with Mac Jones at minus 250 for the Niners at three, Justin Fields at plus 200, Trey Lance at plus 450. Nobody else really worth mentioning because the Niners didn't swap first and then give up two more firsts to draft Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, etc. And yesterday on BetMGM.com, if you go to sports.betmgm.com, I wrote an argument that I believe there's real value in betting on Trey Lance at number three at plus 450. I think I did that right around this time yesterday. And just in the 24 hours since then, Mac Jones has gone from minus 200 to minus 250. Justin Fields plus 180 to plus 200, and Lance hasn't moved. That movement for Jones worries me a little bit, but not enough to back off of my opinion, and definitely not enough to back off the reasoning behind my opinion, which is mostly the reason why I wanted to talk about this more on the show, because I want to get your opinion on that. My argument was nobody knows whom the Niners are taking. I mean, there was even an article about Niners assistants a couple of months ago. They didn't see Shanahan or Lynch's scouting report on Lance or the other quarterbacks. We have no idea if their assistants even know by now who the pick is going to be at three. None of the NFL insiders know. None of the Niners beat guys know. And again, the odds do reflect that with those three fairly close in the odds. So we don't know. And because nobody knows, because all the insiders believe that all three of those quarterbacks are really firmly in the mix for three, I want to use that uncertainty. I'm going to use what I don't know and bet that other bettors aren't willing to do that. Now, I want to get your take on this approach. If somebody knew something about this pick, anything about any of the three players, maybe they know like a little bit about Jones and that's why he's at 250. Maybe they know a little bit about Lance and that's why he's buried at 450, but buried's not the right word though. If somebody knew anything, the odds wouldn't be as close as they are for those three players. Like a lot of film people right. that
can
I trust.
Can I jump in here for 1 second just for a piece of context? Trevor Lawrence is like minus 20,000 to go at one. And Zach Wilson, I think I saw as
2,500.
As minus 2,500 or minus 3,000 to go at two. So that's a pretty big difference when you're laying out all these numbers about who could go at three. You're talking about this is actually up for debate relative to those first two picks in terms of the handicapping marketplace.
Yeah, and that's one piece of it. And I guess that kind of just reflects the marketplace that we don't know. And there are a lot of film people out there that have shown us why the Niners could take any of the three. There's been reporting, there's been statistical breakdowns of why the Niners could take any of those three quarterbacks. And I'm not a film guy. This is something we talked about again a couple of weeks ago. I'm not a film grinder. You're not a film grinder. There are probably fewer than, I don't know what, like 40 or 50 true NFL draft film grinders in the media. Maybe fewer than that. I mean, there are a lot of amateur ones who pull up like the YouTube highlights and do some YouTube work. And then a lot of people who think they know film and they really don't. And I'm betting, it feels like I'm betting against the people who think they know film and think they know that because Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins in San Francisco 4 years ago, that means he's drafting a similar quarterback in Mac Jones. Or because of Mac Jones's lack of boot action passes at Alabama, something that Shanahan loves from his quarterbacks, because of that, they're not taking Mac Jones, they're taking either, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance. We can find all of those things to support or reject like any theory of who they might take. So I'm going to say, I don't know anything. I'm not going to touch Jones at minus odds, even though the book might know like a little bit of something. But because I don't know shit, I'm not going to touch that at minus 250. I'm going to say Fields has some value and Lance has a lot. So let's start with the betting angle on this. Purely the betting strategy that I mentioned for this bet of me not knowing anything. Therefore, I'm going to bet against everybody else that thinks they know something. Is that strategy flawed, do you think?
No. I don't. I think I would maybe frame it slightly differently than you did. And I would encourage people to go read the article that you wrote, because it is a good, it's a good, interesting little read that you put together. I think I would frame it a little bit differently, maybe even a little bit more simpler. I think I would say any of these three guys could be the guy. It's definitely not going to be anybody else. It's definitely going to be one of these three guys. And since nobody really has any true inside information right now, certainly not to add to the marketplace over the last, you know, few days, why not get the guy with the best payout? I think in layman's terms, that's the argument that I would make. Now, this is a great conversation, I think, about cost, about price, and about markets, because we were on here a few episodes ago talking about when the Mac Jones to San Francisco stuff really started, you started to hear whispers about that after San Francisco and Miami made that trade. And I said on an episode a couple weeks ago, like, hey, you're starting to hear some things about, well, people that are really connected to Shanahan that could probably get privileged information out of him, they really seem to think that he likes Mac Jones. And that was when Mac Jones was like the consensus number 5 of 5 quarterback in this, you know, in the top of this quarterback class, where it was perceived that there was a real drop off to everybody else in this draft class after him. So nobody was really projecting Mac Jones to go third of these five guys at that point. You started to hear whispers, and at that point I said on the podcast, like, that you might, I don't think I said go bet Mac Jones at three or go bet Mac Jones to go to San Francisco, but I said maybe you want to go bet Mac Jones north of wherever his draft position bet was. I think it was like 7.5 or 6.5. Like, maybe you want to go bet the under on that because he might go at three. So that's That's the early part of this conversation, right? Because that's the price you could get it at. That's where the marketplace was set. Now that the marketplace has totally evolved along that information, now that it is, you know, it seems that the narrative suggests we think it's more likely than not that he's going to go at three to San Francisco. Now this is all totally changed. Now it's not really valuable at all to go bet Mac Jones going three to San Francisco. Now you probably want to go get Fields or, like you said, go get Lance just because the payout is the best. Mm-hmm. And if you flipped those two numbers, if it was Trey Lance at plus 200 and, you know, and Justin Fields at plus 450, I'd probably say go take Justin Fields. Right. Because it's just about, if you evaluate it as we have no true inside information, any of these three guys could go in that spot, then why not take the guy with the best return?
I think the general point, or at least like the similarity between what we're, you're not even disagreeing with me necessarily. It's more that it seems kind of silly, but I mean, you talk about this so many times that when you first started betting, you were maybe using like 80% of your sports knowledge and saying, hey, I know college football. Like I know FCS. I can do this. I'm going to, you know, research numbers and do, you know, 20% of my equation is just purely betting, not even considering football. But then 80% is the football, and since over the last decade or so, you've completely flipped, and you still use your football knowledge. You mention that all the time on the show, but it's so much more about the numbers. And in this case, I think the splits are even more dramatic in the direction that we're not even, like, we haven't mentioned one thing about, I mean, I mentioned the boot action thing, but that was more to illustrate the point that you can make an argument for any of these quarterbacks to go at three, but we haven't even mentioned skill sets. We haven't mentioned the potential fit that Trey Lance could be in San Francisco. We haven't mentioned what Justin Fields could do in that multi-dimensional offense, because that doesn't matter. Like, that matters for San Francisco picking whomever they're going to pick to be their franchise quarterback. But in this case, it doesn't matter at all. And I think, I don't know if everybody understands that. And that's kind of part of my, I mean, last week you talked about self-awareness. I think it's really key here to have self-awareness and understand that you might know football, but you don't know draft. Like, you don't know. I think before the show we were talking about that you have watched almost every snap, if not every snap, of Trey Lance's career, and you can speak to what kind of game he has and maybe speak a little bit to how he could fit in the Niners offense, but you also haven't watched every single snap that Kyle Shanahan's offenses have taken in San Francisco, in Washington, in Cleveland, in Atlanta. Therefore, you can't properly say that this is a perfect fit for him. And even if you did that, we're still not inside of that front office and talking with Kyle Shanahan, talking with John Lynch. The point being is that this isn't about like the players at all. It's just the fact that these odds are in a, I guess, a bubble kind of enough that they've been separated so far from the rest of the pack that it's so much more about the numbers here and finding that value and has nothing to do with the actual players themselves.
Yeah, the X's and O's of what a player could be are in a lot of ways detached from their draft value when you're talking about handicapping. So, like, to your point, I could sit here and tell you, you know, I thought some of the most interesting things that North Dakota State did offensively when Trey Lance was their quarterback was they would run QB power. Like, that's when they were terrifying. Trey Lance as a pocket passer was not that scary. Like, and I'm not saying he can't be an NFL pocket passer. I didn't think that was when they were at their most dangerous offensively. So I could sit here and tell you, like, oh, who do the 49ers still have? Do they still have Juszczyk? Like, they could go H-back or, like, heavy personnel and then run Lance out of some interesting, like, they could be very creative with him, and I could sound really smart and do 10 minutes on how that could all shake out. Like, but I don't know that that has anything to do with draft order and draft value and handicapping this type of stuff. If you were having a pure draft conversation, then obviously that would be more relevant. But we're not really doing that. So yeah, you're correct. I don't see a ton of relationship between A and B.
So those NBA calls the other night did okay. We need like an air horn tally. I think you mentioned like a month ago, we need to go back and actually see what the air horn tally is, because like we did well for March Madness, but I think that your air horn tally is even better than the 18-6 we did for March Madness. I wonder if it's worth it to go back and pull up the numbers. But those NBA calls hit last on Monday's episode. What do we have today?
Yeah, we're sticking with NBA. There's kind of in a a divot where we're recording this right now, so there's not a ton on the board for me to look at. But one of the ones that really popped out at me was the Thursday night late game between the Celtics and the Lakers. So if you're following in the NBA right now, LeBron James, he's going to miss. He's currently in the middle of missing time. He's been gone from the team with an ankle injury, I believe, since the Hawks game on March 20th, I think. A few weeks now. Anthony Davis out as well. And the Lakers have been probably better than you would expect, given that they're missing LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They've been 6-7 straight up and 6-7 against the spread. There's not a whole lot of overlap in terms of the games they've won and the games they've actually covered. It just happens that they have the same record straight up and against the spread. So it feels like when you look at those numbers, they're doing okay. Enter the Celtics, who are playing pretty well right now. I think on the whole, on balance, they've been a little disappointing this year, but they're playing pretty well right now. They've covered 5 straight road games, and coming into this game, the Celtics are 5.5-point road favorites. And I thought, wow, that number seems very dramatic. Like, I get that the Lakers are missing their two best players, but, you know, the Celtics, underwhelming. They're on the road. They're in LA. That's a long road trip. This is the last game of a road trip, and they're laying 5.5 points. That just, man, the Lakers seem like an appealing home dog there. I don't have ticket or handle information yet because we're still more than 24 hours away from the game as of this recording. But my guess is that there's going to be a lot of public support for the Lakers as a home dog. And I kind of like the Celtics here. When you go into what the Lakers have done in this 6-7 stretch without LeBron, without Anthony Davis over the last 13 games, really, they've just beat a lot of bad teams. That's where the wins have come from. When they have played good teams, playoff-caliber teams, I'm talking about the Sixers, the Bucks, like games like that, they've been pretty well dismantled, and a lot of those scores really haven't been competitive, with one exception being a kind of a weird game with the Nets where the Lakers won in Brooklyn by like a million points. Other than that, I mean, they're 1-3 against the spread at home. They're 0-2 against the spread as a home dog in this stretch. And we're not totally sure what Markieff Morris's status is going to be because he's hurt as well. So we've got depth concerns. Jared Dudley's been out for a while. I just don't like this spot for the Lakers. The number tells me, because it's so dramatic, the Celtics are the side to be on. The Lakers have a lot of injury problems piling up. And I'm not going to take the easy bait of, you know, a sneaky competitive Lakers team, which they're not really, getting points at home. I think riding the Celtics, who have been hot and have covered five in a row on the road, I think that's the side to be on. I will be on the Celtics on Thursday night.
I mentioned those NFL draft specials on BetMGM.com. There's also another one for Trey Lance that is over under draft position of 6.5. And this, you know, final 5 or 6 minutes we do here of the show, we're not going to get into, again, we're not going to get a fits for Lance in the top six or fits for those other quarterbacks. I wanted to come back from that Lance discussion and the value of betting him to go number 3 to the Niners and have a discussion on how, if he doesn't go 3 or whomever doesn't go 3, let's say Fields goes 3 or Jones goes 3, how quickly this thing can snowball. Because it seems like every single year we see a fall from whomever, and it's like, oh my God, can you believe what's happening right now? I mean, it seems like, I was thinking about this, it seems like the first round of March Madness, like the numbers say we're going to see upsets. Like we're going to see maybe a 13-4, we're going to see a 14-3. Every X number of years, we're going to see a 15 seed win. We don't know where it's going to happen in the bracket. We can't say definitively that North Texas is going to beat Purdue. We can't even say how that game is going to go that leads to a win for North Texas. We know that there's going to be upsets, and yet they're still shocking to us. In the NFL draft, like we don't know where the fall or falls will happen in the draft, but there are only so many spots for a large number of players. And I get that there are certain analysts and film guys that only give a certain number. I mean, they might only have 25 first-round grades. Therefore, you know, you are going to get somebody in the first round that didn't have a first-round grade and yada, yada, yada. Same with the top 10. We don't know like which players, and we don't know which teams will pass, how it will happen. And I mean, we're talking a lot about what we don't know today. Come to High Motor by BetMGM to hear everything that we don't know. That's why I wanted to do this brief second half segment on, like, how this fall can start for somebody, whether it's Mac Jones and Trey Lance, Justin Fields, whomever, because I think it'll be less interesting if Penei Sewell were to fall, if Devontae Smith were to fall, if Jalen Waddle were to fall, etc., because it seems like all eyes are on those three quarterbacks since Wilson and Lawrence aren't really in the equation. And because we're assuming that Lawrence goes one, Wilson goes two, if the Niners pass on Lance, let's say they take Justin Fields, because I think it's more interesting. I think the fall is more likely for Lance and Jones than it is for Fields. I think if they were to pass on Fields, I think it's more likely that either the Falcons take him at four or somebody comes up and grabs him. So let's say it goes Lawrence, Wilson, Fields for the sake of this discussion right here. The fall could be pretty dramatic and pretty quick for both Mac Jones and Trey Lance, because there's a strong argument the Falcons aren't done with Matt Ryan right now. They're not ready to invest in a rookie quarterback with a rookie salary when they're bringing in a whole new system that might be sitting at the bottom of the division for so long, and you want to get, I mean, we talked a lot about this last year, but why are the Packers drafting Jordan Love this year? Because as your theory goes, and obviously you're correct with this, you're going to get more roster and salary cap value with a quarterback on a rookie deal when you're contending for a Super Bowl. In the case of the Falcons, they're not contending for a Super Bowl anytime in the next 2 or 3 years. Therefore, where's the value of that rookie quarterback salary on their books this year, next year, or in 2023? That doesn't mean they couldn't take him. That doesn't mean they feel like they're ahead of schedule, that they feel like they could contend for a Super Bowl next year. But it seems like it's highly possible that if the Niners take Fields, the Falcons don't take him. Excuse me, don't take either Jones or Lance. And in this situation, we're not going to project trades because that's just a stupid game to play. We can sit here and say, what would it take for the Patriots to get up to four? But, I mean, talk about shit we don't know. So if the Falcons were to pass and they take a Kyle Pitts, maybe they reach for a Jamar Chase, maybe they reach for a Jalen Waddle, but Pitts seems to be the consensus there. The Bengals aren't taking him, that's for sure. Could they trade back? Sure. But the Bengals aren't taking Trey Lance, they're not taking Mac Jones. They're going to take maybe, we'll say, Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell or Devontae Smith, maybe even a Waddle. The Miami Dolphins aren't taking him. There are reports that they're not enamored with Tua Tagovailoa, but it seems highly unlikely they're going to take him. And then all of a sudden, you're down to number seven after we had two quarterbacks, in the case of Mac Jones, who had minus 250 odds to go three, and all of a sudden, Mac Jones and Trey Lance are sitting there at number seven for the Lions. Kind of like the Falcons, are they really ready to invest in a rookie quarterback? Yeah, there are some attractive options there because you are paying Jared Goff so much money. You wouldn't mind getting a quarterback on a friendlier deal as a backup to kind of grow under Goff. But on the other hand, you're not contending for a Super Bowl anytime soon. The value just isn't
there. I want to jump in right there with Jared Goff and a quarterback. I totally disagree.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't, first of all, when I think like, we could draft a quarterback and have him learn under our steady veteran, I don't think of Jared Goff. Like, isn't he like 6 years younger than me? I mean, I don't necessarily want him. I don't think he's ready to mentor a young quarterback.
Yeah, but how long do you think Jared Goff is realistically going to be in Detroit, though?
I think Detroit traded for Goff because this is a soft tank. Yeah. Like, Goff is not going to be good without a surrounding cast of playmakers. He barely was good in LA with a ton of playmakers around him. So I think the Lions are going to be terrible this year. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to try to address something else at seven. So I would be actually pretty surprised if they go quarterback at seven. And then they've got some really talent. I mean, they can't get rid of Goff. Like, unless they trade him, I mean, that would be, I don't have his contract in front of me. It's a pretty big cap hit.
Disagreeing with me and saying, I was laying out both sides of it. I thought you were disagreeing with me strongly and saying they could draft a quarterback.
No, I would be shocked if they draft a quarterback.
I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be surprised, yeah. So we're not going to try to differentiate
with all the problems they have. I mean, Goff is far from a perfect solution, but I would be pretty surprised if they neglected to address all of the needs they have and took a quarterback when they actually do have a quarterback, even if he's overpaid, even if all the other things you could say about Goff, like I would be pretty surprised there.
And that illustrates the point here too. But yeah, sure, they could trade down and get some other picks. We don't know if somebody's willing to go up and get him. Could the Patriots trade up? Could the Vikings trade up? Do the Eagles really want to trade up, etc.? So if the Lions stay there and take a Devontae Smith, or maybe Waddle's left over, maybe Sewell falls, maybe they reach for somebody, a different tackler, you know, somebody in the front seven, a cornerback. I don't know. But the point being, now all of a sudden you're down to the Panthers, and like, are they? Even though they didn't pay that much for Sam Darnold, I feel like they paid enough where they're going to give him a shot. Are they really going to take another quarterback at number eight? And if they don't, then you're getting into the Broncos, you're getting into the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Chargers, Vikings, Patriots. And there's been a lot of talk about the Patriots moving up to get a Trey Lance, up to get a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields. And I know that we're kind of getting into the if this happens, if this happens, if this happens. Still, the odds of, you know, either Mac Jones or Trey Lance, if you want to throw Justin Fields in there, falling to number 15, I would say are probably pretty minuscule. But the point being is that there will be a fall here. It's really hard to see all five of these quarterbacks, barring a trade, going in the top 10. And that would mean that you either have Mac Jones, who's at minus 250 odds for the Niners at 3, falling outside of the top 10, or you have somebody like Trey Lance, even though his odds for 3 are much lower. I mentioned that the over-under for his pick was 6.5. I mean, if we're getting to 10, he's obviously way beyond that. But a guy that everybody has been all over since that huge season 2 years ago, now all of a sudden falling out of the top 10, and that's not to diminish anything that he's done coming from like a nobody recruit to a top 10 pick is still remarkable. But the point being is that we have quarterbacks that are in the mix for, I mean, up until Zach Wilson just blew everybody away with his pro day, and before then, some quarterbacks that were in the mix for the second overall pick, now all of a sudden falling outside of the top 10, I don't think that's getting enough attention. I think a lot of the attention is to who is Kyle Shanahan going to take, and then what are the leftovers going to be, who's going to trade up and get them. And I think that we're not understanding that there will be a fall, in my opinion, there will be a fall, and it will happen extremely quickly in that first round.
There's almost no way there can't be a fall. Because, I mean, as you said, Carolina probably not taking a quarterback. Do we even know what the Teddy Bridgewater situation is there yet? I mean, they're not adding another guy to that mix. That's just not probably happening. Denver is certainly in play for somebody. That's a real spot at 9. And as you said, this is all we're acknowledging. Like, nobody can predict trades here, but Dallas just signed Dak. Like, they're not taking a quarterback. The Giants, they think they have their guy with Jones. Philadelphia, if Philadelphia felt even kind of strongly about a quarterback, I doubt they, you wouldn't trade down from 6. You would say, let's see if we can get one of these 5 guys to fall to us at 6. We like our chances given, you know, Atlanta spot at 4 and Cincinnati spot at 5. We're going to get one of these guys. Instead, they trade down. That's a pretty strong signal they're not looking to get a quarterback. The Chargers, hell no, they're not taking a quarterback. They think they have their guy with Herbert. So you're talking about, I think, in my line of, you know, looking at this, it is almost a near certainty that one of these 5 guys is going to fall to 14 or 15 where the Vikings or the Patriots are right now. I almost don't think it's possible for it not to happen.
And that's where, I mean, talking trades is just stupid, and I'm fine with having mock draft with trades because I think it's interesting to illustrate what type of price a team would have to give up. But I think at this point is when you now start talking about trades, because even though everybody thinks that, yeah, maybe Bill Belichick wants his next guy, I also think Bill Belichick is extremely arrogant and feels like he can make, arrogant rightly so probably, and he can make a star out of anybody. So like, there's no guarantee that if Trey Lance even falls to 15, they're going to take him. You're talking about the Cardinals, maybe the Raiders, but I think that's where the trade conversation gets interesting. Like you said, it's almost a certainty that either one or both of these guys fall out of the top 10. We're still assuming that the Niners take Fields, which is a huge assumption. If they fall out of the top 10, I think that's where the trade conversations become really interesting, because if there's actually buzz that the Patriots want one of these guys, will somebody jump up and make a move with the Cowboys? Or maybe the Broncos don't love Lance or Jones and Fields is gone. Will somebody move up and make up and jump the Patriots? Maybe they think they're jumping the Vikings too. Maybe they think they're jumping the Giants too or the Eagles, but I doubt it. So I think that's like where the trade scenarios get interesting. I think we've already seen the movement that we're going to see in the top 10 with 3, 6, and 12 being moved around. I don't know if we're going to see additional movement up that high because of the quality of receivers that we have, the likelihood that an elite tackle like Penei Sewell is going to fall, and with J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain sitting up there, the two cornerbacks, and all of these teams at the top are passing on cornerbacks and passing on defenders, I think that's when like the draft is going to become really, really interesting. We're all focused on the 3 pick, and yes, that's going to kind of be like the snowball that starts getting pushed, but once these guys start falling, at what point do the trades start coming then, in my opinion?
Yeah, and I'll tell you one interesting way to attack betting this, if you do want to get some skin into the game here with the quarterbacks in the top 10, do what we said. Bet on Trey Lance at plus 450 or whatever to go third to San Francisco. And then you can turn around and also immediately hedge that by betting he goes after 7.5 or wherever his spot is. Because, I mean, again, you could hypothetically, you could get screwed here if somebody trades up into that firm couple of spots in the middle here. But barring that not happening, which I think is unlikely, you can get both sides of this issue. You can get him at plus odds to go to San Francisco, or you can get him at plus odds to go after 7.5 or whatever. And that would be a really, really strong position to have regarding that specific player.
Yeah, 6.5 for him. Just going over some of these other position totals. Like Devontae Smith is over under 11.5. Micah Parsons over under 11.5. Jamar Chase, 6.5. Sewell is 6.5 alongside Trey Lance. Kyle Pitts, 5.5. Justin Fields, 4.5. Mac Jones, 3.5. You're paying a pretty good price for Mac Jones on that. Under 3.5 is minus 300. Over 3.5, plus 225. Anything else on this before we wrap it and come back on Monday?
Maybe just one note on Kyle Pitts. I think there is an opportunity here to go against what the public consensus has become over the last 72 hours with him, because he has become a really trendy option to go four to Atlanta. I think you might have even referenced that. And he very well might. He is a very talented player, and he is most likely the next really big superstar tight end in the NFL. But the idea that he's definitely going off the board as soon as there's a team that doesn't need a quarterback, it's not necessarily like there's no reason to think that's definitely going to happen. And the marketplace has moved his value so far up that there is probably a little bit of value on saying, hey, maybe he goes like 7th, you know, maybe he doesn't go in the top 5. Like that is possible. And I think that's an interesting contrarian move to make right now.
Kyle Pitts over 5.5 is minus 150, under 5.5. Plus 120. Again, Trey Lance over 6.5, minus 125, under 6.5, plus 100. We are back on Monday on High Motor by BetMGM. As you saw today, we're going to do a little bit shorter episodes, probably even shorter than this, moving forward, at least until football kind of picks up. It feels like we've kind of hit the first week of the off season, so we're going to do more episodes that are in like that 20 to 30 minute range, instead of doing 45 or 50 minutes. We'll still do 2 per week, every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter at High Motor Pod. Any specific betting questions, usually send them to Chase at Chase A. Kitty, and we can talk about those on the show. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for listening to High Motor by BetMGM.
I saw a friend today. It had been a while, and we forgot each other's names. But it didn't matter, because deep inside, the feeling still remained the same. We talked of knowing one before you've met, and how you feel more than you see, and other worlds that lie in spaces in between.